The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Explicit content may be heard throughout this podcast. Listening discretion is advised.
You're listening to Exploring the Paranormal Perspectives. Would you dare?
What is up, all you paraeeps? It is Wednesday, April 6th, 2022. Thank you guys so much for joining moi, Shauna, your host of Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. It is going to be an interesting show. I hope my friend and her husband, I hope they like it, since he's Romanian, and I'm going to be talking about the Hoia Basu Forest. So get tucked in, get your snacks, get your drinks, sit back and listen in as I tell you the haunts of Hoia Basu Forest. Now, time for the show.
Hoia Basu Forest in Romania. I'd spoken with my friend Holly whenever she was in Romania, and she told me about the Hoia Basu Forest and told me that I should come and investigate it. Well, here recently, speaking with her and her time in Romania, I mentioned the Hoia Basu Forest and told me that I should do a show on it. I did the Haunted Forest show, and that was very interesting, and it was very intriguing to see all these different forests that people have seen things in and experienced stuff in, and it just amazes me, the stories that come and create these myths and legends. The legends and myths that have been told of this forest is very intriguing. And while I thought about going to visit her at the time, I never really had the time to do it. Especially before she came back to the States. However, after doing that show on the haunted forests, this forest still has not left my mind. I am still fascinated by it. See, I didn't want to do this one in the mix of all the other forests that I had because I wanted to give this particular forest the full hour I believe it deserves. there's been so many different paranormal phenomena that's occurred here. You've got UFOs, people disappearing, people reappearing, and yeah, you even got spirits haunting this vast timberland. So many stories that I've read about. Hoya Batu have said that the locals don't go into it at all. And if they do, they always feel like somebody is watching them. As I researched and watched and read all these different articles and videos on the forest, the images that flood my mind are just absolutely beautiful. See, the city is below the forest line, and it's filled with concrete buildings and a mixture of old fashioned housing. Now there is some greenery. There seems to be dead trees everywhere in this forest. In this forest, as you walk along the path, in the center of it, and you can look it up on Google Maps, it's pretty interesting, there seems to be what is called a time portal. Or, if you want to go by Google Maps, the Poyana Rotunda. Trees don't grow in this area. It's just grass. And the grass looks to be the same level in each image and video I've seen. I wonder if it's because the UFOs that were spotted, did they leave something behind in that area that causes it to be a quote meadow? Is it a portal where the story of the shepherd and his sheep go into and disappear, never to be seen from again? Or maybe it was the 5-year-old little girl that walked into the forest and then came out 5 years later wearing the same exact clothing she had on when she disappeared. They call this the Bermuda Triangle of Romania. And they call it this due to all the uncommon disappearances that have happened in this forest. You have the shepherd who the forest is named after, Hoya Batu, who walked into the forest one day with his 200 plus sheep. And was never seen again. The 5-year-old little girl wandered into the forest, never to be seen until 5 years later, wearing the exact same clothing that she wore when she disappeared in there. And she was exactly the same age. Those stories kind of change because one says she looked exactly the same, or she was exactly the same age, but others don't really explain. Is she 10 years old or is she 5? there's also been told of people going in and disappearing, and then their bodies being found years later. That is a mystery all on its own, because the forest, even though it's 750 acres, which is huge, it's big. The city where the meadow is and the city, you could probably see lights from that particular area. Scientists have even been through that area, and they took samples of the soil, and they don't know why trees won't grow there. They don't have a clue. And after seeing the images, seeing the autumn leaves on the ground scattered all over the place before anybody got to this particular section of the forest, and then there's a little opening and like an archway, and then you go into this meadow-like area surrounded by trees. And the trees on that side are green and lush and full, and the grass is green. And then you see these little bonfire areas that people have made, some with their choice of shape within them. Some think that it's a place of rituals, and that people go there to do ritualistic stuff. And some believe it to be just a bunch of teenagers or people riding around, running around, just trying to find a quick scare, that adrenaline rush. But no one can really explain why nothing grows there except for grass. Now, I could be wrong. Some of the pictures I found, most of the pictures, all of the pictures I found, I didn't see any flowers. I didn't see any trees. All I saw was grass. But, I mean, you're more than welcome to shine some light on that and send it my way. There are some articles that I read of skeptics that have gone to this location. They don't give the people there enough credit, I don't think. Of course, every place has its myth, its legend, its beliefs. But I think if you got a majority of people in one area, though, you know what? I think the last couple of years really changed my mind on that. Because I mean, it's just crazy how people take something, and a lot can take it with a grain of salt, sit on it, think about it, and really come up with a logistic concept of what's happening, while others just run off constant emotion. But these skeptics believe the clearing is just a meadow. That's it. There's nothing strange about it. But to me, it's strange that no trees grow there. It's strange that a lot of places call it a perfect circle, and there's images of it online. But when you look at it on Google Maps, it's not a perfect circle. It's far from it. But for it to be just a meadow surrounded by so many trees is still just... I'm not a scientist in any of that stuff, so I couldn't say whether or not, yes, a tree can grow here, or no, a tree can't grow here. But if a scientist says that there's nothing wrong with the soil and they don't know why the trees won't grow there, it's kind of something to really take into consideration. These skeptics did say something along the lines of what I thought while I was researching this area. You know, there's a lot of people that talk about the lights and everything they see when they're in the forest and in this circle. But like I had mentioned before, the town's right there. There's a road that actually goes along the bottom of the forest. If the circle is not that far away from the road, you're going to be able to see lights shining and flickering through the trees. If it's a good distance and it's full of greenery and everything else, it's probably going to be a little hard to see the lights. But I believe that's something that can be done, so I would have to debunk that as being possible street, like car lights or something. Now, if you're outside the forest looking in, that could be a totally different scenario all on its own. If that's the case, then you got to think about all the people that go out there at night, all the people that want the good scare or want to just have a thrill ride that are going out there at night with their flashlights or a spotlight, I don't know, whatever they need to see, then it would have to be, I mean, it's going to have to be debunked either way. Just like the little barking sounds and the screams, a fox can scream like a lady and sound like a lady. So if you're out in the wilderness, you gotta find out about the foxes in the area and find out about how much of a population they have and stuff like that, because you never know. You never know if it's in, especially when you're out investigating in the woods. It's very difficult to distinguish between a lot of the stuff, a lot of the animal noises. For those lighted areas, you know, those that have hunted game or has just been in the service or situations like that. Would pretty much know the difference in maybe not the sounds, but in the lights. So what do you think? Could it be possible that the lights are the cars driving by? Or maybe someone outside the forest flashing a light on and off? When you're outside the forest looking in, now that could be a story all on its own. That would be interesting to see. I would have to have a thermal camera. Anytime I go out there, I would have to have a thermal camera just because of what a team found when they went out there. They were out there for a little while. And they heard noises. And they heard talking. And they were looking through thermal lens. And they've seen four people coming their way. So it is possible that what you're hearing is just somebody playing a prank, or, you know, it could be an animal. It might be something you'd have to research after you have gone in and done your investigation to find out more information on. And a lot of people won't report it to their local police department. If we were to go on an investigation to a public building in a different state, I would highly suggest going to a police station to let them know you're going to be there, so somebody's not pulling up and pulling out a gun on you, or a taser, or whatever. Just courtesy. When researching this, I saw a lot of different people going through these woods during the day, at night. Some people went up a very tall, steep hill and was sliding down. Some people went along flat lands. There was little round rings around some of the bases of the trees, causing a dip on either side. But it's really, really pretty. And at the same time, whenever I saw it for the first time, my heart did race. And my gut kind of fluttered, and I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? This was the same feeling that I felt whenever I was at the witch's grave that me and my first group investigated way back in 2012. We were out there for a little while. I know I'm going off on a tangent and I'm going off on my little story, but I wanted to say it because it's actually interesting, because it was the same feeling I got looking at these people walking into this circle. We were out there for a long ass time, and I remember sitting next to a tree eating cherries with Becca, and Patrick was there, and Chris was there, and we were all doing our investigation of what some people have claimed is a witch's grave. I'm not going to say the location of where this is at, but while we were there, it was good for the first hour, and then I started feeling anxious, like something was surrounding the area. Something was coming towards the area. And it wasn't good and it wasn't bad, but it was something that was telling me I shouldn't be there. So we packed up our stuff and we left. And I mean, we didn't leave right away. We were still there for a little bit. But the anxiety didn't really go away for a good 5, maybe 10 minutes. And then it was just uncomfortable. It was just like an uncomfortable, uneasy feeling. Not like anything bad was going to happen, but like something was going to sneak up on us and jump out at us at any moment. And not that that's bad, because, you know, jump scares. But at the same time, it was something... it was something interesting, because I'd never had that feeling before when it came to the paranormal. I had always, you know, experienced it differently. So this was an eye-opener. This was actually one of the ones where people were saying, yeah, you got something, but you've got so many walls built up, you need to just tear those down. Well, going back to this forest and this open area, you're walking down these paths, and these paths are covered in leaves and twigs and either mud at certain time because it's rained or dry ground, but either way, it's you're going to hear something in these woods. But you're going from like golden and autumn and leaves falling to this huge area of just grass. The trees are forming around this area, and it is just grass and little pits of bonfire areas where people would come out and lit shit on fire and or done a ritual or whatever they did out there. But it was beautiful to see the transition between the golden and the green and them be right in the same area pretty much. The trees that surround this meadow seem to form either a shield of protection against the weather outside or just it's like leaning towards the green, leaning towards life. If that's, I mean, that's just how I look at it. It's very, very interesting. Hoya Bachu is around 730 plus acres of forest. Like I had mentioned before, it's known as the Bermuda Triangle of Romania. If you've listened to me in past podcasts, you've heard me say many times before, every myth and legend comes from something. Somebody either saw something, and it's like that whisper game. You whisper in somebody's ear, and then that person tells the next person what you whispered, and that person tells the next person what was whispered, and it gets very convoluted and just destroyed by the end of the whispering. But it's still, at the end, it may be the snow melted and the snowman was still partially whole to the whole snowman melted in the sun with rain and hail and a rainbow. You know, you could just get so many things added or taken away that it's not really the full truth of the story. Well, Hoya Bachu is the same way. In the forest, there's known to be bears, wolves, snakes. Anything like that that's predatory has to be saying, not with a pop-up tent or with a metal camper or something. There are so many slanted trees in this area as you're walking through the forest. And when you look at these videos, when you see images, you can see the way the sun shines down on the forest. And it really doesn't explain why some of these trees kind of go up and then curve into a 90 degree angle and then shoot up again into a spiral. It just baffles me how some of these trees grow. And a lot of science and stuff that I've seen on growing vegetables and stuff says that it'll grow up towards the sunlight. So if the sunlight's over here to the left, it's going to grow kind of towards the left. If it's over here to the right, it's going to kind of lean towards the right. Then you look at the other trees that are near it and you see that there's not really a difference in the way the sun is shining on this particular tree. And the sun is shining on that particular tree. So what is causing that tree to do its little loop-de-loop spirally convoluted. Hey, I'm going to go in an angle here, y'all. So you can sit on me. I'll be a bench for you. I mean, I don't understand it. Of course, I don't have a green thumb, so I couldn't grow it, and I'd probably kill it before it even reached that spot. So, not from lack of trying, just from lack of remembering. There were also trees that I saw in there, aside from the ones spiraling or curving so bad. I mean, there were even trees in there that created this beautiful, like, archway that was amazing. It was so beautiful. And you gotta wonder, how the hell did they start leaning to make an archway and weave themselves together? It just baffles my mind on how this works. Yeah, I took it in high school, and I know the basics. It's just that it still baffles me how plants do the things they do. It's just amazing. Going into some darker aspects, there's a story told of a study that was going on way back in the 50s. This group of scientists asked and offered people the equivalent of what, $100,000, if they could make it from one side of the forest to the other side of the forest in 48 hours, only using a map and a compass. And they were also given a diary so they can write down their feelings and their issues on how they feel. So, like, the Book of Faces, you can put your feelings up there next to your name, and it just seems like most every social media page is doing that now. Going back to the study, the diary they were given, they were, like I said, meant to write down any of the feelings they were having while they were in there. 30 hours after the start of this journey, they found all the bodies of the people that volunteered with their diaries clutched to them. No one made it. No one. And those that have gone through the forest and into the forest say they haven't really felt a lot of stuff from it. Recently, nothing has happened to anyone that's gone into the forest or gone into the center of the forest. Though, if you were to go out to this forest and you've seen a group of people coming at you, coming towards you, coming towards this circle through thermal lens, what would you do? Would you stay or would you leave? I don't know what I would do. I don't think I would stay, especially if it's just us girls, because I wouldn't want to put my girls in danger. If it was somebody just up to no good and up to shenanigans. Going towards the name of the forest, Hoya Bachu gained its recognition in the 60s. When a biologist named Alexander Swift captured a disc-like shape in a picture that he had taken. Following him was Emily Brenea, 68, who was a technician in the military, and she captured another disc-like shape with strange lights. And in the 70s, the forest exploded in stories of sightings and weird lights of UFOs and everything going on there. The stories of the paranormal activities are said to have been recorded and examined. The haunting due to the peasants in the area that have died in the forest. Strange lights are said to be seen, and the activity seems to take place in that open circle.
Shauna will be right back.
And today in paranormal news, believers of the paranormal have spurs and put a fire under the Pentagon's ass to look for new UFO stuff. Who'd have thunk that paranormal believers of the UFOs would spark a fire under the military? Go figure. But as of March 7th now, according to Mr. Travis Tritton, a guy up in Oregon said his health started depleting whenever a blue orb shot through him. Then you have a family out in Cali who said there was gray lights, strange lights, and a gray figure with spindly little legs in their orchard. Now, those incidents were actually probed by the Pentagon program investigating UFOs. And those people that were in the Pentagon doing that did stuff like that for 2 years. Now, last year, y'all know that we all heard about the UFO findings and everything that the government released. Yeah, hey, y'all, look at this hand while we do something with the other. Well, all this was spurned in December 2021 that led Congress to passing the legislation and ordering the Pentagon to spend the next 4 years investigating unidentified flying objects. Now get this, the Pentagon rebranded the name to Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or YUP, UAP. Back in June of last year, they had revealed that some of the Navy pilots had seen a lot of things that they weren't familiar with that was identified as UFOs. If you want more news on that, you can go to military.com. The article's called How Believers in the Paranormal Birth Pentagon's New Hunt for UFOs. It's a rather interesting article in that. Is the Pentagon going to do ghost hunting next? Now, in other news, we're going to go over to Mirror Supernatural over in the UK. Seems like there's a church that somebody nabbed as a home, and it's got a bloodthirsty black hound. I don't know if I'd want to live in a old church with a bloodthirsty black hound. Maybe not. Not on my agenda of to-do lists. mirror.co.uk/all-about/the supernatural. Article: spooky church snapped up his home, complete with ghost of bloodthirsty black hound. And if you don't have favorite shows on the Travis channel, I'm sure there's awesome ones on YouTube, like Overnight. There's also my podcast, Moi, and there's also The Calling, and plenty, plenty, plenty more. Thank you. If you have any news you'd like to send me on paranormal happenings around the world or paranormal in your area, please feel free to hit me up over at the Book of Faces at Shaw Wooten or Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. You can also email me at epp_podcast@geeksparanormal.com. And that's all the news I have. Thank you so much, and until next time.
This is Aaron Gillow from Ghost Adventures, and you're listening to Parax Radio.
Sourire.
Et la bombe.
Rest van de wereld. Victor.
Metal and the paranormal collide.
your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hi, this is Marla Brooks from Stirring the Cauldron. Thursdays are a great night on the Para-X Radio Network. We start off the evening with Journey into the Light, Chapter 3, with your hosts, Psychic Little T and Tabby Cat Gash at 7 p.m. Eastern. Then, on the first and third Thursdays of the month at 8 p.m., it's Tango and Friends, hosted by Bruce Tango. And on the alternate Thursdays at 8 p.m., tune in to Stirring the Cauldron, the Archive Podcast. Every week at 9 p.m. Eastern, join me on Stirring the Cauldron Live. And then at 10 p.m., stick around for New Aeon Now with Lily Alley, Davron Michaels, and Christine Matza. Finally, to round out the night, join Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz on the Paranormal Encounters podcast. All this every Thursday, right here on Para-X.
The stories that were said to be recorded and examined were due to the hauntings of the peasants that had died in the forest. Film producers have even come to this forest to film their movies in. They film documentaries, they film what they need to film here because of the spooky atmosphere of the trees. During the time filming, there are people that have claimed, and they're saying allegedly, that they've captured images of people and the movies, and when you catch it on the frames, you can see. A couple of paranormal investigators that have been out there speaking of film are Destination America, Ghost Adventures, and there was one other that I cannot think of off the top of my head. While others have said to enter the forest and come out with severe rashes or burns or headaches and even fevers when they weren't sick before they went in. I have to say, if I went in and I started feeling queasy, it's like, bye, Felicia, I'm gone. Because I don't do queasy. I don't. Queasy. No, thank you. All those symptoms could be due to high quantity of uranium that's in the area, or even radiation. There is some uranium that's in the subsoil that could maybe cause it if it's too high that you're not used to. The uranium in the soils found by studies would not affect this particular meadow, quote unquote, at all. This could be due to the high quantity of uranium in the soil, radiation, stuff like that, that was found. But the studies show that it shouldn't affect everyone, though I think it probably should. Because I had thought that when I found out about the uranium, that I thought when finding out about the uranium, that it would be the cause of the problems within that perfect circle, meaning that's why the people are getting sick, that's why people are not feeling well, that's why they start getting dizzy. Also, while researching this, I was looking at a lot of the locals. A lot of the people were dropped off, a lot of people were dropped off a few yards away from the forest. The taxis would not even go into it or near it. And it was kind of curious to see this because it didn't happen in just one video or one article. It happened in several where the locals refused to go anywhere near the forest. And yet there's also articles out there that I found of locals selling tours to go into the forest and go through the forest. And it's like, are you really born and bred here, or you just came out of the area and created your own business? But I mean, clever, either way. Do you remember the story of the little girl, the 5-year-old little girl that I mentioned earlier? She came back and she was still wearing the same clothes that she left in. According to a couple of things that I found and heard, she was very lucky. Because a lot of the others that went in and disappeared and were found because they were dead. Not only were they dead, but there was no identifiable trauma that even suggested how they died. There are stories that talk about the lights in the forest as well. But as I mentioned earlier, I do believe that it could be the cause of tail lights or headlights going up and down that road. Unless you're outside looking in, and then it's a totally different story. The sounds heard, like violins, laughter, coughing, honking, things like that. If that area is within like a mile of the road or the city, it's possible what they're getting is sound coming to them from there, because sound can go far depending on the terrain in the area. Now, with all that being said and done, would you go into this forest? And if so, would you go in during the day or at night? And would you go by yourself? Or would you go with a group? I would not go by myself. I would not travel anywhere like that by myself. I wouldn't go into the catacombs. I wouldn't go into the forest. Anything that's easily... you're easy to get lost in. I would not go by myself. But I think it's interesting to see the different people that have gone through and their stories and the different outcomes they get. This one couple had gone through and they found a lot of odd things, but they didn't get any kind of paranormal experience or anything. They didn't go through at night. They just went through during the day. There was also a couple paranormal groups that went through at night. That was very interesting. I would love to go there and do an investigation. And the reason I say this is because everyone that I've seen in the videos or the articles that write about it, only one did an actual investigation. Only one was probing to get more information from the spirits there about how they died and about what happened. So I think if I go, I would love to go and actually experience it as a paranormal investigator. So with that, thank you for listening. If you have any questions or anything, please feel free to hit me up on that old good old Book of Faces or the Tube of You or Exploring the Paranormal, thegeeksparanormal.com, or go to my Patreon page once I get everything up and loaded. You can leave me messages there. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. I do appreciate you all. Y'all have a wonderful rest of your week and a wonderful weekend. Bye, y'all.